Amen. Yes, early. I arranged a ticket so a few months back, and it wasn't until a week or so ago I was looking at the times. And then I thought, oh my, someone at Lehigh Valley is going to have to drive us to the airport very early in the morning on Monday. And so we'll be leaving here. We'll be leaving the church grounds somewhere, I guess, a little after 4 in the morning. So please forgive me, whoever that's going to be. But I was thinking when we actually had our alarm set in Fort Worth on last Wednesday to get up at 2:30. And then I was thinking, oh, we get to sleep in until 3:30 tomorrow. But then I realized, oh, no, that's 2:30 in Fort Worth. So it's hard to believe this is the final service in this meeting. And it's been, I can't tell you how much of a blessing you all have been to my dear wife and myself. We have truly enjoyed being with you all here. You've been so, so gracious to us, and we are going home truly, as they say in Texas, ruined. And I guess that means to be ruined, but we are truly ruined this week. You can turn once again to Romans chapter 10. As we said, this was going to be part two to this morning's message. And certainly covet your prayers this evening. We've so enjoyed the music all week, and this evening's song certainly go with this passage of Scripture. If you found your place there, please stand with me, and we'll read a few verses there in that chapter, picking up. I believe we really need to pick up with verse 13, Romans chapter 10, and reading where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we bow before you this once again, thanking you for your goodness to us, your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for this day and, Lord, your time that you've been pleased to grant your presence with us. I'm asking you this evening to give us a heart to hear from you. Give illumination to the preacher, liberty of lip to declare exactly the message that you want for us once again. Lord, again, thank you for this church. Thank you for that heart that you have given to them. Thank you for the sweet spirit that we have enjoyed with these dear believers this week. And Lord, we pray again your blessing upon this time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. Not going to do a recap of this morning's message because we simply don't want to be here that late. God the Father, through His Son, the Christ, has accomplished, as we saw this morning, our salvation. He's accomplished that work. Paul has clearly laid out that the gospel of the death, the burial, and of course the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the message that we saw this morning, the message of righteousness. That righteousness is ours through Christ. But that message must be proclaimed. It must be proclaimed. The Apostle Paul goes on to challenge us to send preachers, to send those that will proclaim the gospel of peace, so that that statement in verse 13 will be accomplished, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the obvious message. Our message to all people everywhere, that they might call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation from sin. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. When we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved and we are changed, then our task is changed. We are changed and our command from God changes. And that we look at really in this passage this evening. To the lost, the command is what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. To the saved, the command is from Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go. Go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Yes. So this evening, we want to look at a couple more points from this passage. And I love this passage. And it's certainly one of the premier missions passages in the New Testament. I'm praying the Lord would allow us maybe to step back and look at it from a little different perspective this evening and come to appreciate it all the more. So we see, though, our task, that command, is our task now to confess Christ. To confess Christ to all people, as we read in verses 14 and 15. Paul now lays out his great call to those believers there in the church at Rome, laying out for them that task. Of course, his heart's desire was to one day go and be with them, that he would be with them and share his heart with them. But he's challenging them to accept that task, to get the message of salvation in Jesus Christ proclaimed to the world. And those verses are tremendous, verses 14 and 15. They're indeed tremendous. And we see this in this, that need for preachers, that need for those that will proclaim. And Paul's logic is obvious. And I don't think we need to spend a lot of time declaring or explaining this logic. It's self-explanatory. A person cannot call on Jesus until he believes. We saw that from verses 9 and 10. That work of faith in our hearts and then the expression, the confession of Christ. A person cannot believe on Jesus until what? They hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And a person then cannot hear about Jesus Christ without a preacher. Without a preacher. We want to look at that a little bit this evening. Now, there's different ways of fulfilling that work of the preacher. That proclaimer. That word preacher that is the Greek word caruso. And the word literally means one that is a herald. I guess it would be the description of the old time town crier that would move through the town. And what did he have? He would proclaim a message. Call out that message for all to hear. That we are called to be preachers that would declare, that would spread that message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. God, and isn't it amazing? I'm baffled at this, really. That God, in His infinite wisdom, would see fit to use feeble humans like, well, I'll include you in it, like us, to see His work accomplished. But that was His purpose. That was His determination. To use us to proclaim the precious eternal message of the gospel. Again, Paul was consistent in this declaration in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. He says this, for after that in the wisdom of God, like we just mentioned, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to do what? Save them which believe. That's what we've been singing all morning, all day. Any truly God-called preacher agrees that it is a very humbling thing that Almighty God would be pleased to set them apart to be a preacher. A preacher. It is an honor beyond description to be called of God to proclaim this eternal message. I claim the expression of the heart of the Apostle Paul when he declared this again to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 16. You're familiar with this. He says, "For though I preach, I proclaim the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Sadly, some seem to focus, and again, I'm speaking to some preachers, seem to focus on preaching the condemnation of God. Now, stick with me in this. Preaching the condemnation of God on sinners, but are slow to preach the great news, the good news of the remedy, that cure that we spoke of the other evening. But on the other hand, others fail to preach what God saves from. I don't know why it is in our day. There's so many that seem to refrain. For some reason, they refrain from mentioning sin. But then the question comes to my mind, what is it that God is saving us from?
Amen.
Why is it that Jesus died? Except to save us. Amen. To deliver us from our sin. And that message must be proclaimed. It must be declared. And as we see from Paul, a God-called preacher cannot keep his mouth shut. I kept going to, all week I've been going to ask somebody, I see it this evening, how this thing works. That doesn't mean I'll be finished on time, but that, we'll work on it. God-called preacher can't keep his mouth shut. When it comes to this matter of the gospel, he must preach Christ. And beloved, Christ, Jesus Christ is the message of the gospel. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Aren't you thankful? That message hasn't changed. It was the same message for the Apostle Paul, and it's the same message for us on this day, to this very day. But it's not only preachers, quote unquote, that are to proclaim the gospel. Every believer, every child of God has that calling to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done for them. I love the racks out in the foyer with all the testimony tracks in them. It's tremendous. My wife, I think she's got one of all your testimonies to go back home with her. But it's tremendous. Because we don't know how our story might be the story that will relate with some precious soul. That they can identify with what God did for you. And even through that printed page, you're proclaiming. You are proclaiming that message. And it's been a thrill to me this week to hear the different testimonies of opportunities many of you have had this week to talk to someone about Christ. Talk to someone about what the Lord did for us. Yes. And that common, can we say the generic meaning of the word? We're all those Carusos. We're all those preachers. In that sense, that we are all to herald the gospel.
Amen.
We also see in this passage, verse 15, we see that we have a call, a challenge, if you will, to send preachers. It says, how shall they preach those preachers. Except they be sent. Except they be sent. And I was looking just this afternoon once again at those words, they be sent. Now, I'm not going to give you a grammar lesson because I don't want to embarrass myself. But it's the idea that that the preacher doesn't go on his own authority. They are sent. The preacher is one that is sent. Your missionaries, they are sent as preachers, as proclaimers, as heralds of the gospel from this church. And as Paul was challenging the Roman church to that very same task, how are people going to hear unless you be willing to enter in and send preachers? Send them with that message of the gospel. Wow, they should be. Those words should be a continuing challenge to us as well. Preachers are sent. But preachers, we see in this passage, they're also acknowledged. Interesting. They're also acknowledged. Look at it, the verse goes on, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Wow. Now, over the years, it's been very clear to me when I look at my feet that they're definitely not physically beautiful. No, but they do serve me well to carry me about for the task that the Lord's given me. And I think, I really believe that that's very much about what Paul is talking about here. Stick with me. They serve me well to carry me about. And I think, indeed, that's associated. And I think the prophet Isaiah speaks of this very thing as Paul's quoting from Isaiah 52 and verse 7, where it says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. I love that last phrase. Isn't that tremendous? No matter what you're dealing with, beloved, your God reigns. Amen. He hasn't given up his throne. Thy God reigneth. What is it? What is it that the preacher's feet carry him to do? Well, we understand, do we not, that they convey, they bring the preacher to do what? Proclaim Christ. To preach Christ. Now, let these things come together for us. Is it not a beautiful thing to be involved in the publishing of the peace that bringeth good tidings? Good tidings of good that publisheth salvation. That's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing. You know, it seems like it's pretty much left at Christmas time to sing that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And indeed, we're are to be heralding, as we see from Isaiah, heralding the gospel from the mountaintops. We can almost picture that. That all the world would hear this life-changing message. Now, I'm not going to do what the pastor did a while ago and break into singing. I'll spare you of that. But the words go like this. Go. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Jehovah's salvation, His anointed has come, amen, is born. Now think about it. The word beautiful that Paul uses there in verse 15 comes from the Greek word. Now, it's interesting. I had to think about this. But that word beautiful comes from the Greek word in verse 15 for time. For time or hour. The impression I get from the Bible's description of the preacher of the gospel's beautiful feet is that it is a timely message. Huh? It is a timely message. And as we've seen, Paul is quoting there from Isaiah chapter 52. And the word, now get this, the word Isaiah uses definitely describes something beautiful. Something beautiful in the sense that we even use that word today. Something beautiful. How beautiful are the feet. How timely are the feet. Aren't you not thankful for the feet that brought the good news of Jesus Christ to you?
Amen.
Think about that a second. I didn't have the preacher take his feet off, take his shoes off. I didn't even know anything about this verse when I was witness to. You probably didn't either. But as we look back, was it not a beautiful and yet timely message when God brought it to us? Yes. Yes. What is Paul's message to each of us as individuals and to us as a church, your church here, Levi Valley, in Metropolitan Baptist Church back in Fort Worth, and to every local Bible preaching church? We need to make the sending of preachers to the lost of this world with the beautiful and timely message of the gospel a priority. Not lose sight of the task, keeping our eyes on God's target. Why would we emphasize that? Because it is so easy, and Satan loves to get us diverted from the primary message, from the primary cause that he has for us. I'm a news junkie, and I love to watch the news, and I'm follow this and that that's going on. You know, it's political season, election time, and all that's going on with that. And I know some preachers that can get in so involved in that that they forget the primary task is to preach the good news of the gospel.
Amen.
Preach Christ. Why? Isn't those other things important? Yes. But regardless of what happens on the first Tuesday in November, our God reigns.
Amen.
And we need to be involved in what He's involved in what He would emphasize. Yes. Beloved, as you herald the gospel, and as you take part in the sending of preachers of the gospel, you are part of what Paul says is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. I want us to look at one last thing as we finish up with this message this evening. We see in verses 16 and 17 where it speaks of this confession of Christ to salvation. Confession of Christ to salvation. Well, look at verse 16. As Paul mentions this, how important and how precious the sending of preachers with that message is. Notice verse 16, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report?" We understand. Some breaks our heart. Some will not believe. Some just don't believe. And I think Paul's referring here back to his kinsman that he started the chapter with, and as he spoke of in chapter 9, he's referring back to Israel with these words. God was pleased to give the Jews the gospel. Peter preached to the Jews beginning at Pentecost and continued his focus on the Jews for the most part of his ministry. Some were saved. Hallelujah. Some were saved, but all did not believe. All did not believe. As a people, the nation of Israel rejected Christ. Yes. They rejected Christ, the Messiah, the Savior that God had sent to them. And though the Apostle Paul took the gospel to the Jews, we also understand as we study the book of Acts that his ministry was predominantly centered and focused on Gentile believers or Gentiles, Gentile populations. And we look at Acts chapter 28. You can look at that. Acts chapter 28. He's coming to the close of what's recorded concerning his ministry. In Acts chapter 28, and Paul's in Rome. He wrote this letter to them and the Lord granted his desire. And eventually he got to Rome on Rome's ticket. Rome paid for the ticket as he went there as a prisoner. And he's there preaching the gospel and he's declaring to the leaders of the Jews there in the Jewish community in Rome, as it says in verse 17 of that chapter. And listen. As we pick up there in verse 24, it says, "And some believed," as he delivered that message, "some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." As a pastor, and I'm sure you're a pastor and every preacher in this room, and as a church, you share this burden. As pastor spoke this morning as he closed the service, pretty confident there were lost folks in our midst. And when I preach the gospel and I look out over my own congregation and there's those there that for all the knowledge that I have that I'm aware of, they're yet without Christ. And as you identify with Paul, as he declared, "As much as in me is," we preach the gospel. And you say that last amen, and your heart hurts. Your heart aches. That they might once again walk out of our doors without Christ. We praise the Lord for those that believe. But our hearts break over those that believe not. And it goes on, verse 25, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." Those that heard Paul's message, they, it seems, argued a bit, debated a bit, and they left. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. He said, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive." You feel the passion in Paul's voice? "For the heart of this people," he was speaking of his own people, the Jews. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart." Isn't that what Paul's been talking about here in Romans 10? "And should be converted, and I should heal them." Of course, God speaking. And then verse 28 says this. Paul makes this conclusion. He says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That God would be pleased to send the gospel to the Gentiles. And as I think I said earlier, that's how I got in. That's how I got in. And we find in verse 17 that all who believe shall, not might, not maybe, All that believe shall be saved. Amen. Delivered. Amen. Forgiven. The gospel, beloved, must be preached. It's not an option. Huh? I know many choose or choose to or choose not to, but it's not an option. We are given the command as believers and as a church to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. It's not an option for us. It is not something that we can choose to do or not to do. As believers and as a New Testament church, if we are going to be obedient to the Bible, we must be proclaimers of the gospel, sharing the gospel. It's God's ordained way to save. You know, earlier we mentioned it's beyond my understanding that God would be pleased to use a creature like me. Why didn't He just send so many legions of angels and preach the gospel the world over? Could He have done that if He wanted to? But that is not what He chose to do. He chose to use folks that have been saved by grace through faith to reach others with that same message. Huh? Amen. Huh. And that's where we come in. Those who hear and believe shall be saved. Shall be saved. It's true. Yes, it's true as a nation that Israel rejected their Messiah. But not all did. Some believed. Jew or Gentile. Those that did hear and did believe were saved. Just as today. Huh? Just as today. The message hasn't changed. God's purpose, God's plan has not changed. We carry that message. I love missions conferences. I look forward to it all year at our church. I pray and just beg God to enter in and thrust our church forward in our work for Him, our efforts for Him. I love missions conferences. And we too, as a church, employ Faith Promise missions in our missionary outreach. In fact, for the 45 years we've been saved, every church that we've been members of or I've pastored has practiced faith missions. God has seen fit through the years to use that system. Is that the only way to do it? Not necessarily. But God, time and time, church after church, has seen fit to bless in a special way. And this is a very important time for Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. Amen. Very important time. It may be, if not the most important time, near the most important time for you as believers and as a church family. Huh? Pastor gave that first report, and I know what it's like when that first tabulation of the faith promise, and I'm looking at that. I kind of look at it this way, and year after year, God's pleased to continue to use His people, continue to help us to do a little more every year. And at this time, I just challenge you. I'm not a member of this church, but this week I can tell you that my wife and I have fallen in love with this church. You all have become very precious to us, and it's not uncommon, is it, to go somewhere and you find yourself amongst other believers, and it feels like home. Oh, I'll be glad to get home tomorrow afternoon. But this will be that, as our brother said earlier, a home away from home to us as we think of you along the way. And I plead with you, as someone that cares, if you've already submitted your faith promise for the year, be faithful with it. I know God will take care of you with that. I know He'll bless you. And if you haven't, continue to seek the face of God. I'm not one of those. Over the years, over those 45 years, I've seen pastors use all kinds of gimmicks and things to try to pump up the faith promise offering for that faith promise Sunday. And then all year long, they've got to pump the folks to give it. I don't do that. And it doesn't seem like your pastor does that either. My prayer for my folks, and I know his prayer and your prayer should be that God would lead and direct you in exactly what He wants each of you to do. That's the beauty of faith promise. It's the beauty of it. Is each and every one is directed by God the Holy Spirit to do what He wants you to do. He takes care of it.
Amen.
Huh? Our God reigneth. Huh? Our God reigns. And so again, it's been such a pleasure, such an honor for us to be with you all this week. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, for Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, is we catch Paul's vision to send preachers. Continue to. The Lord has blessed you to do so much. Preachers, missionaries in so many places. And we're honored. We're honored to be part of those ministries with you. And our church is honored to send. I guess we've got a half a dozen out in different places now. But am I covetous? Am I greedy? I want to send more. As we said the other night, I don't think we've run out of lost people yet. Unfortunately, lost people aren't extinct yet. We need to continue to send preachers. And that's what this conference is all about.
Amen.